Today's episode is brought to you by Daily Fantasy Nerd. Daily Fantasy Nerd is the single best daily fantasy sports tool out there for FanDuel, DraftKings, and even Yahoo. You can analyze stats, view up-to-the-minute Vegas lines, check player game logs, import and manage your own projections, build optimal lineups, and even has a bankroll tracker. To get your free trial, visit goingfortwo.com/dailyfantasynerd. That's goingfortwo.com/dailyfantasynerd and start winning today.
You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
Go right back to, oh, he must be a fan just because of Ron.
They were good at one point, you know, when they had Iverson.
So I would say you gotta subscribe to this podcast and my podcast.
What's up, podcast world?
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to today's episode of GoingForTwo.com's press coverage podcast presented by Talk Loud Radio. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. All right, guys, we have a great show today. But before we get into the lineup, I wanted to just mention a few things. First and foremost, goingfortwo.com will soon be on your Apple device in the form of an app fairly soon. I'm looking at hopefully mid-February to have an app. It'll be only iOS at first. Hopefully it'll be Droid down the road. But I am working with the company that's going to put all of our content into an app form and put them on the App Store. So be on the lookout for that. I wanted to mention also the two other podcasters that we have on Talk Loud Radio. Of course, we've got the Pay Me No Mind show, which covers a lot of boxing. He also does some pop culture stuff, some hip hop, some music industry stuff, some movies, some TV shows. So check his show out. It's called the Pay Me No Mind Show. And then we also have the guys over at ClashOfTheNerds.com. They actually have two different podcasts. One of them is called Let's Podcast as their main podcast. They basically play video games on the podcast. They do a live YouTube show as well where you can watch them play video games. But they talk about a lot of the topics in the nerd community, you know, the new Star Wars movies coming out, the rumors about the new video game systems, Nintendo Switch, I think, is a big thing right now. So they've, you know, talked about that a little bit on the podcast. I think the new Star Wars movie was just released, the teaser trailer maybe, or some kind of news based on that. I saw that in this news feed lately. So, you know, a lot of cool stuff going on over there. They also do a wrestling recap show called Armbar. I believe it's once a week on either Wednesday or Thursday. I'm not 100% sure, but they got some cool new stuff too on their YouTube page. They actually got a green screen now where they've got video playing in the background. So some pretty cool stuff going on there. I'm actually supposed to make a guest appearance on their YouTube podcast page sometime this week. We're doing a Super Bowl preview show. We're basically going to play Madden 17, I'm assuming. And we're going to pick the two Super Bowl teams, the Falcons and the Patriots. We'll pick our team and we'll just kind of play, see what happens. Last year we did this and we accurately predicted that the Panthers would get blown out. We actually were the Panthers and the Broncos kicked our butt. So we sort of predicted it in a way, even though we all sucked at Madden. But anyways, so be on the lookout for that podcast and check out their show. Like I said, it's theclashofthenerds.com. Their podcast is called Let's Podcast. You can find that, of course, right here on Talk Loud Radio. You can find Talk Loud Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We're on TuneIn Radio. Pretty much anywhere where you can get a podcast, we're on there. So check us out. Just search Talk Loud Radio, all one word, and you'll get all three shows. All right, guys. So tonight we're going to do our first NBA Daily Fantasy Sports podcast. It'll be our first one of 2017. I haven't done as many as I would have liked at the end of last year due to some difficulties with my equipment. But everything is all fixed, up and running, and we are ready to roll. So tonight's guest for the inaugural NBA DFS podcast for 2017 is going to be Shane Clausen. He's actually been on a couple of times. I think this is his first time coming on to talk about some daily fantasy stuff, but he actually runs a Twitter account. I think it's at DFShane26. So it's DFS, but you know the S is actually shared by his name, Shane. So DFShane26. He gives out free cash lineups pretty much every night. He's been pretty successful. Last I heard, he had won 11 of his last 13 cash games. So definitely check him out. He's going to come on the show tonight. We're going to talk about Tuesday slate, Tuesday, January 24th. We'll go position by position, get his top plays, get his value plays. Of course, I'll give you my picks as well, and hopefully help you to win some money. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and just take a commercial break here, and when we come back on the other side, we'll have Shane.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? Going4two.com has you covered. Going4two.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, Going4two.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfortwo.com because no one remembers the extra point.
Welcome back. As promised, we are here tonight with Shane Clausen to talk some NBA Daily Fantasy. It'll be our first Daily Fantasy podcast for 2017. You could follow Shane on Twitter. He gives out free cash lineups pretty much every night. You can follow him at DFShane26. So it's basically DFS and his first name. The S is shared. So DFShane26. Shane, how you doing tonight, man?
Jeff, what's up, buddy, man? How's everything going?
Not too bad, not too bad. My lineups tonight weren't very good, so there is that. But, you know, what are you going to do when Kawhi Leonard's ruled out last minute? You find out that Decker's not starting and Spates isn't starting, and you got to quickly make some quick changes. I made the wrong changes, obviously.
Jeff, you got popped, my man.
I did. I definitely got popped tonight. I thought Kawhi was safe for sure. I had never heard nothing about no hand injury, and all of a sudden he's out.
Yeah, for those of you who are maybe new to DFS NBA, the Spurs coach Popovich likes to do these last-minute scratches and change things up on you, so you're struggling to change your lineup within, like, the last 5 minutes. Sometimes he'll do it after a lock, and that's when I'm really not having a good night.
Exactly, exactly. All right, man. Hey, we got a pretty decent slate for a Tuesday. We got six games on the slate. We got the Clippers going to Philly to play the Sixers. We got Boston going to Washington. We got San Antonio, the aforementioned San Antonio Spurs, playing at Toronto. We got the Bulls at Orlando. We got the Jazz playing in Denver. And we got Minnesota playing in Phoenix. Before we jump in, we're going to go position by position. But before we jump in, does any of these games sort of stand out to you? Sort of like, that's the one I want to target tonight? Or are these all pretty much targetable games?
Yeah, I think pretty much all of them are targetable tomorrow. I mean, I look at the Utah and Denver game, and I know, you know, Denver can play at somewhat of a slow pace, and I know Utah can too. And I'm looking at the over-under, which is at 105 right now. That doesn't seem too appealing to me. And then I guess another game that kind of sticks out too is the Spurs and the Raptors. I mean, I don't know what's going on with the Spurs. As we saw tonight, they played like their farm team pretty much. I mean, it was all second stringers. So, I mean, I guess you can take a lot of value out of that game, too. But outside of Patty Mills, man, nothing really hit tonight. I mean, David Lee did fine. LaMarcus Aldridge, he's pretty much – he ate tonight, so I'm glad I picked up him. But, you know, against that Toronto team in Toronto tomorrow, I guess it all depends on what they're going to do. So, but if, you know, they got their second string that's going to be starting again, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to treat that. I think a lot of people learned a lesson tonight about what value to pick on that team. It pretty much killed a lot of people.
Definitely.
I guess the most targetable game, in all honesty, is now that I'm looking at it with the highest tempo, would probably be the Celtics Wizards game. Right now that over under is at 109.5, and then possibly Chicago Orlando might be some good value out of there, good picks out of there. So that's probably what I'm looking at right now.
Good deal. Yeah, the good thing about that San Antonio game, it's a 7 p.m. tip, so hopefully we'd get some news before a lock. And then one thing that's sort of missing from this slate, there's no 10:30 game, which honestly I sometimes like, you know, being on the East Coast. You don't get to stay up. You don't have to stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning to watch your games. You can pretty much be done by 11:30, 12 o'clock and know where you stand. So there is that going on. We only have the latest two games we have are the two 9 p.m. games, the Utah-Denver and the Minnesota-Phoenix games. That's kind of nice, too.
Yeah, we're being, as East Coasters are pretty gifted these next couple nights, well, tonight and tomorrow night, just like tonight, the last game is going on right now at halftime. And that was a 9 o'clock tip. And for someone that has to get up early in the morning, you know, it definitely helps out. It's a good feeling being able to kind of, you know, get ready to go to bed and see if you're pretty much going to cash or not.
Exactly. All right, let's go ahead and just jump into that slate. We're going to start with, we're going to go position by position. We'll start with the point guard position. We have John Wall sitting at the top as the only plus 10K guy. Tonight, started off with a bang. I think he started off with 26 points in like the first half. And then I think he ended with 36 points. So not a very good finish. He gets a pretty tough matchup with Boston that are actually pretty good against defending the point guard and shooting guard positions. Is John Wall worth paying up for? I know he's playing at home, which he's better at. But are we looking elsewhere at point guard, or you think John Wall is worth paying for tonight?
I think tomorrow night we might be able to look elsewhere, in all honesty. And I mentioned it earlier. We really got to see what's going on with San Antonio. Because, I mean, even if Patty Mills gets the start, you also got the Lakers on the slate. So Austin Rivers had a great night tonight. Got him and Felton. That's also available. Tomorrow night might be that spot where you can actually get your value from. I'm also looking at, I see like Eric Bledsoe and Kyle Lowry on the slate. Now, depending on which I doubt if Parker's back or not, but depending on if Parker's back, I mean, Lowry's going to have a tough matchup there with San Antonio. Another thing, too, is one thing that actually sticks out, too, is I'm looking at George Hill. One position I attack on the Denver Nuggets is always a shooting guard. They're almost dead last. They may be dead last in the league.
You mean point guard?
Point guard. Yep, because I look at them right now, and, that's a weak area for that team. And, you know, George Hill has been consistent, especially for cash games. So I don't know if you really have to pay all the way up for Wall tomorrow. And, of course, that could change. But right now, my top point guard right now for tomorrow is George Hill by far. That's the one I'm looking to, you know, pay up. And he's only 6,300. So
yeah, that's a pretty good price there. And you said the Lakers. You meant the Clippers, of course, are on the slate tonight.
Clippers, I'm sorry.
No big deal. No big deal. It happens. I'm looking at Eric Bledsoe here, and as much as I hate playing Eric Bledsoe, I mean, look at his latest games. He's got a 55, a 46, a 41 versus New York, and then a whopping 62 versus Toronto. You know, his price has jumped up dramatically, but going up against Minnesota, you got any interest in Eric Bledsoe, or are we just afraid that he's going to throw up a dud again?
It's going to be a tough matchup for him, but you know, he is at home, so I think that does boost him a little bit. But, yeah, it's hard to deny how well he's been playing. You know, the man's been on a tear. I guess I'd have to see. I mean, like I said, Hill is a little bit more appealing, and I think tomorrow you can probably pair Hill with one of these value guys. It's really going to depend on, you know, what's going on in San Antonio. Typically, if there's value on the slate, I grab it, and it depends on where that value's at. And just from the looks of it, it may be at point guard. So, you know, tomorrow may be that night where I might take a stud and then just, you know, pair him up with a value at that position. But there is no denying Eric Bledsoe and, you know, what he's been doing. And, you know, I wouldn't doubt it if a lot of people will be on him, especially for cash games. And, just like I said, you just got to see where the value opens up. And, you know, one of my golden rules in cash is I do like to chase the chalk. You know, if I feel he's going to be high owned and, you know, I'm looking around the community and a lot of people are on him, then you might have to pay up at the $9,300 and grab him. Because, I mean, there's no denying what he's been doing. And he's just absolutely killing it.
Definitely. Now, you had mentioned earlier about the value that could possibly show up with the Clippers. Now, the Clippers are kind of hard to figure out in the sense that I think Marquise Spates the other night started over Felton. And I believe they put Austin Rivers at the point. And then typically, like tonight, they've been starting Raymond Felton and putting Rivers at the two. So you don't really know what to do at that position there. I'm assuming that it'll be Felton again going up against Philadelphia. But between the Felton and the Rivers and even Jamal Crawford to some extent, which of the three guards do you think you like the most?
Well, definitely not Crawford. Crawford, you're just relying on a jump shot, and he's proved that over these past couple weeks. Who I thought, you know, was just such a strong sixth man coming off that bench, and he was just such a playmaker. I mean, now he's relying on a jump shot, and if his jump shot's cold, his night's over. I mean, he's finishing in a single digits FanDuel points. It's disgusting. But Felton, I just think – I can never play Felton. I just think he's out of shape. He's just in I watch him run down the court. He looks like he's out of breath half the time. And in all honesty, I don't even like Rivers. He's on the team. It's his coach's son. But I would have to say Rivers because I think he has the most upside personally. So if I had to play any of them, it probably would be Austin. But I've never been a fan of the Clippers value point guards. That's just me personally, though. But if I had to play one, because that's probably all I would play, it would be Rivers. So I just think he has the most upside.
Yeah, there was a joke on one of my DFS chats about Raymond Felton talking about PPG, which, of course, we all associate with points per game. But they were associating PPG with Raymond Felton as pudgy point guard because he looks like he's kind of overweight, looks like out there. But, you know, he does his thing some nights. So he is that value if you need there. And Austin Rivers, I liked him a little bit more when the Clippers were good enough to blow teams out. Because when there was a blowout, he was the guy in the fourth quarter pretty much running the show, taking all the shots. But now that they've lost, pretty much, you know, Blake Griffin's not there. CP3's not there. They're not blowing teams out anymore. Rivers isn't getting quite as much junk time. So I don't like him quite as much. He is still a shooter. And, you know, when he gets hot, he can get hot. And he just basically jacks the ball up. So there are some times where you can play him. I don't know if tonight is the night that I want to play him, though.
Well, Jeff, did you hear the news?
What's that?
Guess who's back tomorrow night?
Is Blake Griffin back tomorrow?
Yes, sir. Blake Griffin is set to return Tuesday night. So for those of you listening, that will be tonight, obviously. But Blake Griffin is he's back.
That does change things a little bit. I don't know if they're ready to give Blake a full slate of minutes yet, but that could be something to look at in the future with Rivers being there because he will be basically the second sort of offensive threat behind Blake. So that I think he's better as a number two than he is a number one. But yeah, that's something to look for down the road. Of course, we keep saying tomorrow night. If you're listening to this podcast, it's probably tonight for you now. We're recording this on Monday evening, so it is the 23rd when we're recording this. But by the time you listen to it, it'll be the 24th. So if you hear us say tomorrow, we actually mean tonight. All right, let's go ahead and jump over into the shooting guards here. We've got at the top, we have no shooting guards over 10K. We got DeMar DeRozan listed as out. He was the top shooting guard. Then we got Dwayne Wade, we got Bradley Beal, we got Devin Booker, Bradley listed as out, Zach LaVine. Not a lot of sexy choices here at the shooting guard position. When you have something like this where you don't have a clear-cut stud, do you like to just take the sort of mid-range top guys, or do you like to use this position as your value position, try to find someone that's cheap down low?
Well, that's the thing, Jeff. One name that does stand out for me is Devin Booker. I mean, the matchup's okay, but, I mean, Devin Booker's been on a tear. You know, he's got some young talent there in Phoenix, and usually they're in up-tempo games. And tonight we're looking at a 106.5 over-under, which isn't that appealing. But, you know, someone like him who is listed at 6,500, those guys are kind of appealing to me. I don't know what it is about, you know, these young, fast shooting guards. I mean, I chose Booker on Sunday night, and he got the job done. And he's been consistent. His floor has actually been a lot better. And I kind of like those kind of shooting guards, those who can make plays. And that's really what I attack. And like I said earlier, I hate depending on the shooting guards who rely on their jump shot. I just – that never works out. So in this kind of situation, I guess I can answer that question saying, yeah, I will look at value. I like to look at those two. And one thing I do take advantage for those of you, a cool tip is one thing I also do, especially on FanDuel, is I'll try to check and see if they have any point guards that are listed as shooting guards on FanDuel. Cause I like to attack those guys as well. DeJounte Murray from, last night's slate, which is tonight, but last night's slate, he ran point for San Antonio and he was listed as a shooting guard. And that's appealing to me. Of course he didn't have that great of a game, but that's just kind of what I look at. If the matchups aren't there, if there's really no stud that's there, Those are kind of the things I look for. And from what I'm looking at for tonight's slate, a few names that stick out that have good matchups, it would be Bradley Beal at 6,700 versus Boston. Boston's terrible at defending the shooting guard, and especially with Avery Bradley out. So that's one thing to look at. And someone who's been okay as of late would be Zach LaVine. He's got a beautiful matchup too. But yeah, to answer your question, Jeff, usually if I don't see anything too appealing, I'm probably chasing some value.
Good deal, good deal. Yeah, I was going to say that that Boston game with Bradley Beal, I think with Bradley in there, you kind of avoid that matchup because Bradley is a plus defender. But with him being out, Bradley Beal is someone to look at for sure. Devin Booker, I love. I've played him quite a bit over the last few games. Dwayne Wade is always a little hard to figure out. You never know if you're going to get Dwayne Wade circa 2001 or you're going to get Dwayne Wade 2017 on the verge of retiring. So he's always tough to figure out. Usually,
I like Dwayne Wade when Butler's out.
I was just going to say, usually you use Wade whenever one of the Bulls starters are out because then he tends to pick up his usage. But I think on nights where he can just sort of, you know, be the second scorer, you know, to Butler, he can sometimes take a back seat and not put up the kind of points you hope from him.
Right, absolutely.
All right, looking down at some of these cheap shooting guards, I really don't see a whole lot that I like down here. You had mentioned Murray from the Spurs. You know, he did have a bad game tonight, but it is potential that he could have a good game tomorrow. He had two good games his first two starts. So I think tonight maybe a one-off. But so he's really the only thing I see down here that I would even be interested in. I guess Redick still kind of falls in that sort of value range at $4,700 on the slate. And if Blake is back, that might help him get some more open looks. So he's a possibility down there. Other than that, I really don't see much I like at the sort of low shooting guard position. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm looking right now and just nothing's really popping out at me, to be honest. Just kind of going down the list.
It's ugly down there.
When Danny Green is a name that pops out, that's kind of scary. That's yes. Really scary, to be honest. Yeah, we can move on.
All right, yeah, moving on. So basically, pay up, you know, it's sort of a mid-tier, you know, with the price range at the top there, but pay up at shooting guard, guys, because there ain't nothing down below.
Yep, I agree.
All right, so going into small forward, of course, at the top, there is Kawhi, who is listed as out. I don't know if that's going to be the case tomorrow, if he's going to play or not. But for now, he's listed as out, so we can kind of ignore him. We got the aforementioned Jimmy Butler, whose price tag has gotten pretty steep. And then we kind of drop off sort of down into the 7,000s. You know, we got Gordon Hayward, who's been hit or miss lately. He was consistent there for a long time, but lately he's been kind of hit or miss. Andrew Wiggins, which is one of those guys that basically score. I mean, that's basically all he does. He doesn't get rebounds, doesn't get assists. You know, he's not getting too many steals or blocks. He just scores. So if he can get 30 points a night, he can get you 30 FanDuel points a night. But you got to rely on his scoring pretty heavily. Then we got Otto Porter, who had a pretty decent game tonight, I believe. At least last time I checked his score. Yeah, he ended up with 32.6, which is pretty good for a guy costing $6,000. And then we got a few other guys down below there, but are those top guys, the Butler, Hayward, Wiggins, Porter, any of these guys that we like that stand out?
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the slate right now. Right now Kawhi's listed as out, but if Kawhi is in, and I'll have to check the Vegas lines, but if the over under is appealing, I'm already looking at Kawhi. Haven't really been on Gordon Hayward too much. He's kind of turned into one of those guys that's just kind of relying on a jump shot. I mean, Hayward gets rebounds, assists here and there. I mean, he does a little bit more, but he really hasn't lived up to his price, in my opinion. You know, his game's kind of died down a bit, and his price is kind of – it's always been around the mid-sevens, but it feels like it's lowered a little. And like you said, I completely agree with Wiggins. Yeah, if he's cold, he's cold, and you're pretty much done with him. Yeah, Butler's kind of appealing. He's probably one of the best studs on the slate as far as small forward goes. That's if Kawhi doesn't play. But I would probably pay it for Kawhi first. I think that'll be a better game, I'm hoping, depending on if San Antonio rests any of the starters again. Or, you know, we'll have to check on Parker. I don't know anything about his injury yet. But if the over-under is appealing and the spread isn't too bad, and I think the Spurs can keep that game close, then I'm probably looking at Parker. I think Toronto's always been good to attack at that small forward position. They're one of the last place, defense first position wise, they're one of the last in the league at defending the small forward. So I'm looking at that. But, you know, if on the other hand, if Kawhi is out, one player that played really well tonight is Jonathan Simmons. I want to say he broke like 21 FanDuel points last night. And if he's going to get some time, then that's another guy to really look at 3,500. That's a huge value. But with that being said, I'm also, of course, looking at Ingles. I mean, Ingles has always been consistent, especially for cash. And once again, he's on the slate versus a terrible defenseless Denver team. And he's only 4,200. Mm-hmm. So, if you want to pay down, there's nothing wrong with taking Ingles.
Exactly. And Ingles is sort of benefiting from the Rodney Hood injury, which I just checked and looks like he's out at least one more game and probably a couple more after that. So Ingles is still in play. His price is still, I believe, still sub 4,000. So any guy getting 30 minutes a game, actually, no, I take that back. He's 4,200 now, so a little over 4,000. But a matchup with Denver is always a plus. So Ingles is definitely on my radar for sure. A couple other guys that are sort of in that cheap range that could have a good game. Shane, your phone's going off. I can hear you buzzing there.
Sorry about that, Jeff.
It's all right. Damari Carroll. He's been really, really inconsistent. But if he could get those minutes, if he can get that 30-plus minutes, he has put some good games together. Couple 30-plus games, couple 25-plus games. So Damari Carroll, someone you could look at too. I think if he does play, he'll be matched up on Kawhi Leonard. So he might have his hands full offensively. I'm sorry, defensively, trying to guard Kawhi Leonard. But I think he could be in play for sort of that GPP lottery ticket type guy. Is there anybody else down there that you like at the lower end range there? I think Covington's another one that's been sort of on my radar of late. He's got a couple games in a row now. He's over 30 points. So Covington could be interesting as well.
I like Covington if Embiid's out. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but I feel like his usage gets a bump. When Embiid's been in, that whole offense has just been revolving around the process. They're definitely trusting the process in Philly. But Covington would be someone I would target if Embiid was out.
I think it's pronounced Embiid, not to correct Embiid. You, but
yeah, it's Embiid.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's somebody that I would target if Embiid was out. So yeah,
good deal. All right, I think that's pretty much wrapping up the small forward positions. Is there anybody else that you wanted to call out that I missed here?
That's pretty much it for me. I'm looking down the list, but
Aaron Gordon is interesting. I think at the small forward position, he's been better of late. He does have some sort of the up and downs, but
he is, but he's got Jimmy Butler on him tomorrow. So
good call. So yeah.
And right now that over under is only at 101.75, according to looking at the Vegas line right now. So I don't really target anyone who Butler guards. So yeah, I might be steering clear.
Good deal. All right, let's go ahead and look at the power forward position. At the top, kind of surprising if you haven't been paying attention to DFS for about a week. You got Nikola Jokic, who's pretty much jumped up. I believe his price range used to be sub 6,000. He's sort of slowly been climbing. Then he had a couple 50-point games in a row. I think he had a 45. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. A 45, a 54, a 52, a 56. And his price is shot up. I believe it was over 10,000 yesterday. He had a couple subpar games, and he's back down to 9,800. Tough matchup with Utah. And then we got LaMarcus Aldridge, who had a good game tonight. He's on a back-to-back, so who knows what Popovich will do with Aldridge. We got Blake Griffin, which you're telling me that he's back tonight. So I'd be a little leery using Blake Griffin on his first night back, but he could be that GPP lottery ticket. Maybe he comes back stronger than we expect him to. We got Markieff Morris on the slate that I think is very interesting, going up against that very soft front line of the Boston Celtics. And he's been really good lately for the Wizards. Any of these sort of top guys at power forward that we're looking at tonight?
Yeah, definitely. If Kawhi is out again, I'm going right back looking at Aldridge. Aldridge gets, I want to say, I looked at the number earlier. I think he gets around a 30% usage rating when Kawhi is out. And that's huge. So I know the matchup's okay against Toronto, but when Kawhi's out, I'm just I just love plugging in Aldrich, and that's pretty much all there is to it. And that's at 7,600. And on the flip side of that, David Lee, his price is at 5,100. He still might be a reasonable play. So those two are always in play if Kawhi's out, and it just goes back to the San Antonio situation. So yeah, they stick out. As far as Jokic, he's just, I almost want to say he's matchup proof. I mean, he's been playing lights out, and as long as Malone can just trust in him, I mean, I'm not saying I might pay 9,800 against Utah, who's one of the best teams in the league at defending the big man, but he's been worth his price tag. He's just been killing it. But realistically, you did mention a name with Markieff Morris going against Boston. That's a guy I'm definitely targeting. I've already pre-looked at this slate, and he's one person that popped out. Price tag's reasonable at 6,400. He should light that defense up. And the over-under is pretty good on that game at 109. So it's actually one of the the Wizards are looking to score 109 points. So that's that's pretty good in my book as far as this slate goes. So
agreed.
Yeah, that's definitely one guy I'm looking at. And then one guy I wish that would get some more time, man, because I know he's going to pop off one of these nights. Solinger, he's 3,800 and he hasn't been doing much. He's hasn't really been getting many minutes, but I just remember picking him so many times last year, and he would just go off. I mean, he was hit or miss, but that's another, just another punt, I guess, if you're playing a GPP. I would kind of plug him in if, you play multi-lines. I would plug him in every now and then because eventually he's going to pop off. But, outside of that, power forward just looks like kind of a wasteland tomorrow outside of Jokic. So I kind of have a feeling if too much value doesn't open up, I kind of have a feeling if you're a cash game player, everyone's probably going to be on Jokic because that's the only name that really sticks out from what I'm looking at.
Agreed. Now I'm just looking at Jared Sellinger's sort of fantasy production here. He hasn't gotten anything more than 17 minutes over the last three games, but in his last game, he only had 12 minutes, but he had 16 FanDuel points. So he's one to keep an eye on for sure. Obviously that's more than one fantasy point per minute, which is what you look for pretty much. So, yeah, I do kind of like that call out. Maybe not play him tonight, but I'd keep an eye on, keep him on your radar. Another guy I've liked playing over the last maybe few weeks or so, and his sort of stigma attached to him over his years has been sort of a negative stigma. But he's been playing really, really well, and that's Ersan Ilyasova. I think he sort of found a home in Philly. I mean, you look at some of his last game logs, he's got a 31-point game, a 35-point game. 27's in there, a 29. He's been a lot more consistent. I don't know. The last time he put up a single-digit game wasn't, I think it was like last year in like early December or something. So he's been pretty consistent, which I think his stigma has been that he's been very inconsistent, and I think that keeps his ownership down. But yeah, he's been really good lately. And at $6,000, I think that in that matchup too with the Clippers could be a fairly high-scoring game. I'm not sure what the over-under is on that game, but I do like Ilyasova. I like him even more when Joel Embiid's not playing. So if he's out, he tends to take even more shots. So he's something to look at as well.
Yeah, and I agree. And from what I'm looking at right now, Vegas predicts the Sixers to score 99.5 points. But one thing to counter that, Jeff, is we also have to wait and see what's going on with Blake Griffin, see how many minutes he's going to be playing. Because I think he'll become a little less appealing if Blake's in. But we'll just have to keep an eye on that. But, you're absolutely right, though. He's definitely found his home. He's consistent. And I just feel like the Sixers squad, they just had so many big men, kind of like the Denver situation. And I think they're really starting to figure out, who they're rolling with. So, obviously, Embiid at center and, Okafor has been kind of sitting the bench. And I think New Orleans, he hasn't really been doing much either. And Rashawn Holmes is there. And they've just got so many big men. And I think they're finally figuring out that Ilyasova and Embiid are the answer.
I agree. I definitely agree with you 100%. All right. You ready to move on to the center position?
That I am.
All right. Let's look at center. Of course, center probably has the biggest, as far as price point, biggest stud on the slate. Talking about Karl Anthony Towns matching up against Phoenix, which is a very good matchup. They do have Chandler there, who's a good defender, but I think Karl Anthony Towns is still one of the top plays there. You got Joel Embiid, who's currently listed as out, so we'll have to kind of keep an eye on that to see if they actually clear him to play. You got DeAndre Jordan, who's been really good lately with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin out. He's been pretty good. Gobert, who's been on a tear lately. I don't know what he's doing tonight, but I know
he could hopefully be doing a little bit more tonight since I'm riding the cash line right now. I'm not too far out of my my triple double tournament, so. Yeah, go ahead.
Good deal. Yeah, I think he did have a little bit of a hiccup in Indiana the other night. So, but I mean, you look at like against Dallas, he had 25 rebounds. Phoenix, he had 17. Orlando, he had 19. You know, he's got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 double doubles over his last 6 games. So, you know, he's definitely something you can look at as a guy that has a pretty high floor just based on rebounding. He may not score a lot every night, but he'll get you some rebounds every night, some block shots. So his floor is pretty high. Then we got, we got Tyson Chandler that I mentioned, whose price point is probably a little bit more than I want to spend now. I liked him better when he was like 5,500. So I don't know about paying over 6,000 for Tyson Chandler. But, you know, he is a good play. He's got a good matchup. We got Gortat going up against, the course we mentioned before, the smallish, sort of soft Boston front line. That could be a good play as well. I think center, as far as the positions go, has a lot of good plays. I think you got to pretty much start at center and then build from there.
I totally agree with you. And I was just about to say, Jeff, don't worry about value at center on FanDuel for tonight because you're going to be paying up. I mean, it's loaded. This is by far the best position to pay up for. And you're absolutely right. Name that sticks out, obviously, is Cat. Cat's been killing it. He's got Phoenix. He's going to go up against Tyson Chandler. Chandler's gritty. Should be a little bit of a tough matchup for him, but I mean, Cat's he's a superstar, man. I'm looking at him right now and, he's 10,500. I want to say his price, I just picked him on Sunday. His price went up $400. He was $10,100 on Sunday. I noticed that with FanDuel too. They love boosting up Cat's price. Like they're just not fair to him at all. I mean, it's consistently going up. But if you don't want to pay up for Cat, like you said, Rudy Gobert, I mean, against Denver, that's always a solid play. He's at 8,100 here, but I mean, you're going to be paying up. And I'd also say DeAndre, but I don't know about him, obviously, because we don't know about Blake yet. DeAndre's kind of up and down, but you know, if his price can stay around like the lower, it's 8,400 right here, which may be a little too expensive for my taste, but I used to like DeAndre when he was like 7,800, 7,900, but
agreed.
Looking at that price tag, it's a little pricey to me. I guess the smallest I would pay, in all honesty, just looking at the plays, is you got Vucevic, but I don't know with Biombo. I feel like Biombo cuts into a lot of his minutes, a lot of his time, so I just don't like that Orlando situation. But I was gonna say you have Vucevic at 6,600. And long story short, Jeff, I agree. I'm looking to pay up at this position, truthfully. So if I'm not paying for Cat, I might be looking at Rudy Gobert tomorrow, to be honest, but you definitely want to pay up.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same place you are. It's either Cat or Gobert. DeAndre Jordan would be tempting, if Blake wasn't going to be back just because his usage, I know he's not much of an offensive player, but they use him a lot in screen roles that that Blake Griffin normally gets. So if Blake's in there, he may not be involved as much in those pick and rolls as he is now. But if Blake is out, Jordan could be viable. But that price tag's a little bit steeper than I think I want to pay for him. I think I'm looking at Cat and then building from there. And then just going back to how you mentioned how they keep raising up Cat's price. I think I've been trying to figure out like what their formula is for FanDuel. I'm sure it's, there's rumors that there's like some random guy picking, prices and sort of off the top of his head. But I think there is some sort of algorithm that goes into picking the prices. And I think for FanDuel, more so than DraftKings, I think ownership percentage on the previous slate tends to play a role. There was a point last year where I think a minimum salary guy was starting. He was like super high owned, like 80% or something. He had a horrible game. I mean, horrible. Like you would never want to play him again, kind of horrible. And his price went up the next game for like, it was from 35 to 38. And the only thing that changed, other than his horrible scoring average, everything was all the same, was ownership percentage. Because he was so highly owned that FanDuel saw that and said, okay, well, everyone's picking him for a reason. so we're going to raise his price. And I think that plays into the algorithm a little bit. So when Cat has a game where, like, I think, like you said, Sunday, I believe he was pretty highly owned, especially in cash games, I think something in the FanDuel algorithm sort of triggers that sort of like, well, if he's being this highly owned, maybe his price is a little bit too low, so they jack his price up. So sometimes it has nothing to do with how they perform, but more so how much they're owned in the DFS community.
That makes sense, and that's, you know, I never actually really thought of that, but no, that does make sense. I can see that. Yeah, so I know, yeah, I want to say Sunday, Cat, he was, I think I did the all-day tournament, ended up cashing that, but I want to say he was around 50, 55%. So, yeah, I can see that. And, I mean, he went off. So, I think he almost got 6X. I want to say he did get 6X his value. So, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I can definitely see that.
Good deal. All right. So, give us your Twitter again. So, one more time, you give out free cash lines pretty much every day, right?
Yeah, every day. And definitely been, and I owe it to you, Jeff. We started, you know, podcasting when football season started, and I decided, you know, it was around October and basketball, the, you know, preseason was going on, and I was like, you know, let me really start focusing on NBA, because I played a lot last year, and I, you know, started giving out free lineups, and just, I've got a YouTube as well, it's the same, it's DFSHANE26, it's DFS Shane with one S, 26. And I also got some cool features on there. I go over how I research. Check out my videos on there. It'll definitely help you out. But, yeah, every day before lock, I post a cash lineup. And, you know, it just is for free. So feel free to check out my Twitter if you guys are interested in, you know, asking me questions. Feel free to DM me. I always message my followers back if they have any questions or just trying to become better at, you know, NBA DFS. And it's really taken off, and I'm, you know, I'm very happy with the success, and I'm very happy that I'm able to help people out, and it's just a fun community getting to interact with all you guys and talk basketball every day.
Definitely, man. It's definitely pretty cool. I mean, I have a Twitter account as well, of course, for my website, goingfor2.com, and it's really cool when you've got readers and or listeners sort of reaching out to ask you questions, you know, complete strangers sort of brought together by DFS is kind of cool. You know, you got people that are from California and Chicago and New York and, you know, pretty much all over the world that are sort of like reaching out on Twitter, you know, just to kind of talk DFS. It's kind of cool. I really like the community.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a blast. So, yeah.
All right. Good deal, man. Good deal. I'm going to go ahead on that note. We're going to let you get out of here. Definitely, guys, check him out. Again, that's DFShane26 on Twitter. Check out his YouTube page as well, and have some good luck tonight with your slates. And if you've got any questions, reach out to myself or Shane. Of course, I'm at JeffLambert77 on Twitter. You can reach out to me. My DMs are open to everybody. With that, we'll head out. All right. Have a good night, Shane.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for having me. Have a good night.